Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Hey, Undisputed listeners. Before we start the show, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com. Reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. Download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com now. Let's start the show. Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Saturday, Tom Brady and the Buccaneers got their postseason off on the right foot with a win in Washington. Well, yesterday, Drew Brees and the Saints dismissed the Bears and will now face the Bucs for the third time this season. The Saints won both prior meetings, but the Bucs come into this one having won five straight games. Fox Sports NFL analyst Michael Vick is with us now. So, Michael, which 40-something old quarterback is playing at a higher level right now, Brady or Brees? And by the way, Brees' birthday coming up on Friday. He'll be 42.
All right, well, happy birthday to Drew. But right now, I think Tom playing at a super high level right now. And I won't take anything away from Drew. But I will say this, Drew, he had the rib injury and, you know, he missed a couple games and it could have set him back a little bit in terms of, you know, the feel for the game and having to get back into a flow for the game. And that was kind of evident last night. The accuracy, it was there at times, but I thought balls was thrown behind guys and Drew didn't look as comfortable in the pocket as he normally does. Tom, on the other hand, looks good in the pocket. His arm looks alive. At the age of, 43, he actually looks like he's coming back for another year or two. And it shows. It's evident. And, you know, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the last three games of the season, they're on a five-game winning streak, but the last three games of the season, I think, really got this team in sync collectively. And I think it galvanized everybody and it put them in the comfort level where they really felt good about themselves coming into the playoffs. And it showed. But, you know, obviously now Tom feeling good about his game and everything looking like it was supposed to look early in the season. I like them moving forward. So this game this week is going to be extremely important. You know, I don't know if the New Orleans Saints can beat this team three times in a row because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be ready this time around. And I think they're getting Tom Brady while Tom Brady is in full form.
Mike, let me ask you a question. You're the older brother, right? You're older than Marcus, right?
Yeah, I'm the older.
How many times did you beat Marcus? All of them because you were just better. That's what it comes down to. Yeah. All this notion about, oh, it's hard to beat a team three times. No, it's not if you're better. My brother beat me until I was better than he was. That's just how it works, Mark. You know that.
Wait, when were you ever better?
Man, stop doing that. I beat him in the backyard. Yeah, that's what I count.
Hey, Sterling was a beast, man.
Hey, I beat him in the backyard. That's what I'm talking about. Hold on, wait a minute. Really? One guy had 11 crack and broke ribs and a collapsed lung. I better hope the other guy's playing better than he is. If he's not, what is he on, a ventilator? Skip, stop this notion. You know what? You gonna get your day. Your day gonna come because you got all these little topics in there talking about Tom. Tom has played well down the stretch.
Well? You're selling him way short.
Great. Mike, is the Falcons defense any good? Yes or no? It's a simple yes or no. Are the Falcons defense any good?
They're because okay. They're okay.
They finished dead last, Mike.
I'm gonna say this, but they play hard. They play hard. I don't care what defense you line up in front of. If you're able to go out and you're able to just annihilate the defense And that's what Tom Brady did.
Okay, how about this here?
Any defense, I don't care what they rank, 1 through 32.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Did he annihilate the Saints defense in either the game that he played? Yes or no?
No, he didn't.
Okay, what about the Rams? Yes or no? What about Chicago?
Hey, look, it's about what's happening now.
Okay. Hold on.
You got to lead a pass, and the pass has short-term memory. But keep it moving.
But you said he was playing great. I'm saying he's playing great.
I said the last three games.
Yes, against bad teams. But has he played great against good teams? That's my question. Because teams are in the playoffs, I thought were good. Are the teams in the playoffs good? Yes or no?
Yeah, teams in the playoffs good. Okay. Last week we talked about the football team and their pass rush, and we didn't talk too much about the secondary or where they was ranked or how good they really are overall as a defense. But we knew that Tom was going to have some problems in front of him and was going to be faced with some problems going against that pass rush. And what did he do?
Heineke had a high QBR than Tom Brady. Did you know that, Skip?
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
He did not.
Yeah. The rush yard. Skip, here's the thing, though. He started the game. He was off because what? He was like 3 of 10 on his first 13 passes. And then he got hot in the middle. And then he kind of cooled off again. So the question is, if he starts, because what we've seen, Skip, when he starts cold against good teams, it's hard for him to get on track. He started cold against the Saints. He started cold against the Rams. He started cold against Chicago. Started cold against my homeboy. Mm-hmm. Drew Brees has the type of offense. You start cold, they can put 24, 28 points on you, and then you never see them again.
Mm. Did you really think he started cold on Saturday night? I must have watched a different game.
Yeah, look at the numbers. Look at the numbers.
They put up more yards on Washington than anybody has, and it wasn't even close. They put 507 yards up on that defense, ranked third by Pro Football Focus.
All I'm saying, if you look at him early, Skip, in the beginning of the game, in the middle, he got really good, and then toward the end, he tailed off again. Skip, if you miss all those passes, he had 18 incompletions. 18.
Yeah, Shannon, but it's a defense out there. This ain't 7-on-7. Ooh, this ain't practice.
They were?
The playoffs.
They were. The defense out there. Why'd you put a football team, put a defense out there? Oh, I didn't know that.
I mean, when you got to go through defenders and tight holes and tight windows, man, every man that lines up behind the center deserves credit for that because it's not an easy task. It was hard for John Elway to find you, Shay. It was hard for him.
I made it easy.
It was hard.
So, before I go on this, I would like to ask Mr. Vic, what does it feel like you are 40 years of age and you're watching a 40, soon to be 42-year-old, play a 43-year-old, both playing at very high levels, obviously, for their ages or even for anybody's age?
Yeah.
So, what does that do to you when you're watching them? Do you sit back and think, man, maybe I should have tried longer, but I should have stuck with it? What's your gut on this?
Yeah, well, I know we'll get into a segment with Lamar later, but watching him always makes me want to come back and come out of retirement and see where I'm at. But, you know, I do think about that at times. But, you know, I think for me, the gratitude in watching Drew and Tom at their age, you know, I'm sort of living vicariously through them. Like, the passion that they still bring to the game. Drew and his ability to go out and win the game when he's not 100% healthy, when his arm is not the strongest, when he's not probably feeling at his best, still finding ways to pull it out. You know, I take gratitude in that, you know, and just watching them and just like living vicariously through them. So it's a really cool thing to see. And at the age of 42 and 43, you know, it's hard. They're better than, you know, 60% of the quarterbacks in the league and still able to go out and find ways to win and get it done with whoever is out there on the field with him. So the biggest compliment go to those guys and the hard work and effort that they put in over the last couple of years.
Well, you got to avoid big hits, and that's what Tom has been able to do.
They figured out how to do that.
You see Tom? Tom, like, I'm not taking it. You get close to Tom, Tom say, oh, you got me.
They got him three times, but he just falls, man.
Yes.
It's like drop and roll, right?
That way they fall on top of you, but they got to hit the knee.
Yep.
You don't want them to tackle you to the ground. And Tom has mastered that. Drew has done a great job of that. Live to see another day. Mike, you took too many shots early. You should have, if you look back at it now, like,
that's the truth.
I should have just went on out of bounds, got down.
I think about that too.
Took shots early.
We'll get into it later, but
late too.
Well, the first 2 years in Philadelphia, my God.
I was one of those guys that felt like I had to get every yard. I'm talking about if it was third and third and three, and I got the three, I'm going for four with two defenders in front of me. And, you know, it set me back. It hurt me in terms of longevity. Thank God I don't feel it now. But, you know, it was super evident when I was playing as far as how I felt. And towards the end, I felt like that kind of derailed me a little bit.
So, Michael, my man across the table, Shannon Sharpe, does not want to hear this, but I've been trying to tell him all year, Tom Brady is still Tom Brady. And his man, Tony Dungy, the star of your podcast, said live on national TV on NBC on Saturday night, Tom Brady has never played better than he's playing right now because his pocket feet are so sweet. He moves so well to create time and space in the pocket. And we saw the one late throw to Mike Evans, cross body, after he did a little ballet dance to the left. And you're not giving him enough credit for it's mind plus feet. Obviously, it's supreme experience. Plus, the arm talent has not gone anywhere. You said it's declined. I don't see any decline in arm talent.
What Tony didn't say, this is the most talent that Tom Brady has ever had.
Agreed. I agree.
Ever. More than 2007, more than any year. Okay. This is the most talent offensively that Tom Brady has ever played with.
Okay, so I'm going to remind you, in the first game at New Orleans, he was with all new receivers, all new coaching staff, and no preseason. They played not one preseason game. It was all virtual. They were practicing. He was thrown to these guys in some public park in Tampa before they got quarantined, run out of the park. Then that day at New Orleans, he's thrown to Justin Watson and got pick six on a throw to Justin Watson, who then was the target of another pick six in the second game. Justin Watson hasn't received a target from Tom Brady since week four.
Should.
Okay. So then what happened? They got to 6-2 without Antonio Brown. 6-2, and everybody's saying, wow, look at the Bucs, the defense, the offense, that they might be the best team in pro football. And Brady said, no, we're not. We've got to go get Antonio Brown. We got to force him into our mix. And I'm sure Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and even Gronk and Cameron Brake, I don't think they loved it. You know, they said, okay, we'll try to roll with it. But it took a while for them to figure each other out. How does the rotation work with Antonio? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, they are clicking. They are gelling. They are taking off right on time.
But what Antonio did, Skip, is that Antonio might take some food off the table.
He did.
But the food that you get to eat will be better.
Okay.
The targets, he took targets away
from
you.
But those kids, those two Pro Bowl kids have to understand this is, you're going to sacrifice for the greater good of our team.
But you see how easy, you see how open Mike Evans is? You see how open Chris Godwin is?
But they didn't make the Pro Bowl.
Right.
Because
they're
not going to make the Pro Bowl.
You gotta
Antonio's
sacrifice.
Not going to make the Pro Bowl, but you have three targets. And how about Gronk? On Saturday night, he got one target in the back of the end zone. It was high, and he couldn't get his feet down.
Right.
But that was it.
Yeah.
He caught no balls, and they won fairly easily.
You got to be willing to sacrifice.
You got
to
be willing.
I'm sure everybody, hey, Mike, you know this. Everybody, we used to, Skip, you wanted to make the Pro Bowl because the Pro Bowl was held after the Super Bowl. When you go to the Super Bowl, you win it. Now you get to go over there. You the toast of the town.
Yep.
Everybody buying you drink. Hey, man, congratulations, yada, yada, yada. So everybody wants to do that, but you don't get that. So would I be willing to sacrifice maybe going to the Pro Bowl to get to the Super Bowl? Hell yeah. Pro Bowl.
Well, you would be, but they had to grow up and realize this, right?
Once you realize how, at the end of the day how you're judged, that championships actually matter.
Yep.
Because when you start having these debates, when it comes to historically great or Hall of Fame level players, he never won a championship.
Okay.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Mike.
No, go ahead. So I would say more than anything, talking about that should take a lot of pressure off Mike Evans and Godwin having Antonio Brown around.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to sum this up by saying Tom Brady is definitely playing at a higher level than Drew Brees.
Yeah.
But this is his worst matchup because the New Orleans defense, to me, is much better than Tampa's defense. So Brady's going to have to go in there and outscore Drew Brees.
Yeah.
And he might have to get to 35-ish to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? And I think he is highly capable because I do not bet against Tom Brady, especially when the third time could be the charm.
To beat Tom, you also have to be able to score points, Skip. You got to score points. If you look at the team, you're not going to beat him scoring no 17, no little 20.
No. Nope.
Every once in a while, you might. But more times than not, you look at what Drew was able to get to. You look at what Mahomes was able to get to.
Yep.
You probably got to get to the 30s to beat him. The way they're playing right now offensively, you're going to need to be in the 30s.
That's why Tom the greatest of all time. It's because he's going to always find a way to beat you. He'll always find a way to beat you. I don't care if New Orleans won two games in a row. Tom finds ways to win football games, and it's been evident throughout the course of his career.
Yeah, and you know that those losses are definitely motivating Tom Brady as he goes into that one.
No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
What's up, Undisputed listeners? It's your boy, Shay Sharp. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shay Shay, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation, and as host and proprietor of Club Shay Shay, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shay Shay is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shay Shay now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now back to Undisputed.
No mercy.
Thursday, Big Ten favorites face off on FS1. Tom Izzo's 23rd ranked Michigan State Spartans battle player of the year frontrunner, Luka Garza, and number 5, Iowa, in one of the most anticipated conference games all season. That's Thursday at 9 Eastern on FS1 and the Fox Sports app. Lamar Jackson was able to get his first career playoff win against the Titans yesterday. And along the way, Lamar had this dazzling 48-yard touchdown run that drew Michael Vick comparisons on social media and had the name Vick trending on Twitter. Michael Vick is, of course, still with us now. Mike, I have to say, when I saw it, I thought about you as well. So how much did this run remind you of you?
I mean, everything Lamar does reminds me of myself. And, you know, the fact that he's doing it at such a high level in today's game, today's time when defenders are faster, stronger, I mean, more elite. And even though he's doing it with a scheme behind it, a blocking scheme and lead blockers, it still doesn't matter. It's Lamar at his best. He's the elite of the elite. I always felt like I was one of one when I played, and Lamar right now is definitely one of one. And it's a lot of quarterbacks in this league that, you know, they're in their own, you know, brackets. They're in their own categories, and they, you know, some that look the same and there's some that doesn't. Lamar, you know, he looks like Lamar Jackson, and that's it. And you know, can't compare him to anybody. You know, he's one of the best in his position, respectively. And, you know, his feel for the game has gotten better. His maturity level has gotten better. His accuracy has improved, if you ask me. And the most important thing that Lamar did this year was around week 9-10. He just threw everything out the window. He just started being himself. And if it takes for him to throw for 180 a game and rush for 160, then so be it. You know, I like it. And it's entertaining. And it's so good to see for the game of football. But he's going to continue to get better and better. And, you know, this is going to be a scary team next week in Buffalo and throughout the playoffs. You know, I really feel like they got a chance to take it to the next level. I won't speak too soon on that. You know, it's all in the hands of Lamar and the defense. But right now, trending in the right direction.
When I saw him take off, I was thinking about that run you had in overtime against the Vikings. You kind of went through a crack just like that. And by the time they realized what was going on, because they came with a blitz and they messed around and let contain. I said, if he jumps out the window, and now here it is. Everybody's scrambling.
Yeah.
Everybody
trying. You know, the thing, and look, it was an amazing play, man. And thank God I had the speed to split like five people, you know. And Lamar has that speed, but we drop back looking to pass.
Right.
Drop back looking to throw the ball down the field. And sometimes, Skip, Shay, that's what opens everything up. I mean, we started the play out with the right intentions, and that's looking downfield, eyes downfield. So now the defenders get lured to sleep. They see us looking, and then it's a crack. Just the God-given feel that we got to be thankful for allows us to do some amazing things. And, man, that run right there yesterday, it'll be a run if they go through and win it all. That was the run that catapulted them, I think, to this victory yesterday.
And so, guys, when you look at it, Mike, you know this. They're playing Tennessee's playing a 3-3-5, three down linemen, three linebackers, five DBs. And what you try to do is you always try to keep your eyes on Lamar. If you ever turn your back on him, he hits a crease. When you realize what's going on, he's already up to full speed.
Too late.
He's going to outrun any angle that you possibly might have. And so I can assure you, the little bit of fans that they had, they start hearing the roar. They're like, okay, we got him. Well, no, we don't. No, we don't got him. Because the next thing you know, you turn around, and he's right there. Well, it's too late. It's too late. Yeah. And like I said, a guy like yourself and he and Kyler Murray, once you get even, you flatten off. If you run by them, they're looking to jump out, and they're going to hit the head on the goalpost. And that's what he did yesterday. Mm-hmm. Give him credit because, like you said, Mike, he's like, man, they tried to get me to throw for 300 yards. That'll be fine and good. But I got these legs. They feeling fresh. I'm out. Yep. See you in the end zone, fellas. Mm.
Yep. So, Michael, I love what you said about Lamar, one of one. Michael Vick, in his day, one of one. Nobody like either one. I still say the Michael Vick experience in Atlanta, you were slightly more electric and elusive in the open field, just to make you miss elusive. But I got to say, that run yesterday, there was some gear he hit. Yeah. I'm not even sure Michael Vick had that last gear.
Because yeah,
when he hit it, it was over. I thought three DBs had the angle on him, and he flat out beat every one of them to the flag. It's like, that's impossibly fast.
It's just like the thing with Mike is, Mike went from first to sixth.
Right.
It seemed like like there was no second, third, or fourth.
I agree.
Mike was like first gear, and he's full speed. He's at six. Okay, meet me in the end zone, fella. Party at six.
Yep.
And that's what it was. It seemed like Lamar, you could see him like chain, like getting faster and fast. Well, and then, Skip, you remember the one that, the last one that he scrambled? He put the ball in, he had it in his left. He put it in his right. He said, I better get up out of here on y'all.
You know, another thing about Lamar, seems like as the game goes on, he gets faster and faster. And even when I was watching that run, you know, I'm in my long run against Minnesota, and we talked about just my burst. My burst is what got me into the open field. And then I'm surprised I even finished that run because I didn't have long speed. Yeah. When you got long speed like Lamar.
Long speed.
I mean, he continues to just put pressure. I mean, you can break one at any time, and there's no catching him. So what y'all seen as far as the gear, you know, continues to pick up as he continues to run. I mean, this man he's on a different planet right now.
Yep. So, Michael, I was even more impressed with Lamar yesterday than I have ever been. He showed me things yesterday he has not shown me in the past, even in his MVP year. Obviously, we all know that he came into this game with a lot of weight on his shoulder pads. Two home playoff games he had not played well in. Three home games this year against Kansas City and Pittsburgh and Tennessee he did not play MVP football in. And all of a sudden, thanks to one, as he turned a dumbass pass that got intercepted, it looked like it slipped out of his hands. It was so far off target. But thanks to that, they're down 10 to nothing, and they're backed up to 3rd and 7 at their 28. Mm-hmm. It's the last play of the first quarter, and Lamar showed me something with his arm. He escaped on a blitz by Adoree Jackson. He escaped to the right, as we're seeing right here, and he's running to the sideline. I thought he was just going to throw it away, and he threw a rope to Mark Andrews for 17 yards and a first down that I believe saved the game at that point. Because if they have to punt, I don't know. I'm afraid that the stadium is just going to rock right on their head. So, Michael, that throw to you, how sweet is this one? How impressive?
It's impressive because it's a hard throw to make. And you know, you're doing it under duress, which makes it, you know, way more harder to complete that pass. But that's Lamar putting the team on his back. That's Lamar showing resolve, you know, being resilient.
Yep.
And knowing, you know, that you have, you know, an entire, you know, team, you know, on the sideline, you know, all your teammates, all the coaches, you know, watching you and leaning on you and knowing that this game is going to be dependent on how well I perform. And when you accept that role and when you go out and this is by any means necessary and you do whatever it takes and put the team on your back, you know, sky's the limit. So I think, you know, that win yesterday was a character-building win, not just for Lamar, but for the entire team. And hopefully it takes him, you know, into Buffalo with more confidence. And Lamar's going to have to continue to make those plays. This is a step in the right direction. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not over by any stretch. MVP, you know, the Super Bowl has to be in your sight. So, you know, on the road, step in the right direction. Let's just leave it there.
Mm. Defenders, just FYI, when you blitz a guy, do not lose contain to his dominant arm. If you look at Michael Vick, when he escaped the Minnesota skip, what did they do? They let him out to the left. Tim Tebow.
By the way, if Michael Vick had made that throw yesterday, it would have been really impressive. Wrong arm, wrong way.
Yeah. You remember Tebow when he beat the Jets. Skip, what did they do? They let him escape to his left. Nope. You can't let a guy escape to his dominant arm.
Well said.
So, Michael,
sum it up. Do you like Lamar and company's chances at Buffalo?
Yeah, I like their chances. I think they beat Buffalo this season in Buffalo, if I'm not mistaken. I watched that game, and, you know, it was a good game. But, you know, on the other side, it's going to be Josh Allen.
Yeah.
I think it was last year,
but he threw darts the whole game.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, they better bring the big pads. If you can't stop the run, you can't beat the Ravens.
Yeah, looking forward to that one. No mercy.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, it's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called the People Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness, or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we can all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you. No mercy.
Well, the Steelers season came to an unpleasant end last night with a 48-37 loss to the Browns. Pittsburgh was the last undefeated team at 11-0 earlier this season, but then 1-5 over their last six games, including last night's loss. Fox Sports NFL analyst and former Steeler Michael Vick is still with us. So, Michael, what was the biggest reason for the Steelers' collapse?
Man, I think yesterday it just started out bad. It didn't start out good. The snap that went over Ben's head and resulted in a touchdown. I just felt like it was going to be hard to come back from that against the Cleveland Browns team, who was hungry and searching for their first playoff win in a long time. I think that played a big part of their demise yesterday, and it didn't start well, like I said. But, you know, this team has been trending in the wrong direction for a long time, and I bleed black and gold. You know, I love the Pittsburgh Steelers organization from the time I stepped in there and from the time that I left. But it just seemed like yesterday, even though they came back and they fought, it was somewhat of a changing of the guard type of sense. And, you know, this team has been decimated by injuries all season. You know, you got guys like Bud Dupree and Devin Bush out. And these are the type of players that need to be on the field when things are not going well, when there's a lot of turmoil on the field. Those are the type of players that can bail you out, you know, along with the rest of the guys that's been assembled on that team. So they just didn't have that down the stretch, you know, throughout the season. They didn't have it yesterday. They did enough to come back. But, you know, it just wasn't about Big Ben in the offense. The defense had to step up, too. So, you know, I think in football, you know, the defense has to play better than the offense, you know, on any Sunday. You know, sometimes it can vary. It can go either way. But that just wasn't the case for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Is, you know, I think the defense, because of injuries, failed this team this year.
Mike, you mentioned this team had been trending in the wrong direction for a long period of time. Skip, I was telling and, you know, getting into it with people on social media and talking and even debating some of my friends. I said, guys, you got to stop looking at 8-0, 9-0. There's an undercurrent here.
11-0.
Skip, I remember having this conversation with some fans in Kansas City. I said, they commit the dumbest penalty at the most inopportune time. Hey, but we won the game. And what happened? Dee Ford lines up offsides and cost them an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl. I said, see? This is what happens. I say, when you can't run the football, when you need to run it, it's going to bite you. 3rd and 1, they can't get a first down. 3rd and 1, Ben has got to throw. Guys get their hands up, getting interceptions. Ben's inability to push the ball down the field. Skip, they sitting on everything. The reason why none of these balls are falling incomplete, because everybody's close to the line of scrimmage. Ain't no way that many carabs supposed to get intercepted, Mike. You've seen carabs, and they hit the ground because the field is spread. Well, when everybody's tied to the line because they're not worried about you throwing the ball overhead, anything that's not called cleanly is going to get picked. And you better – I don't know what the Steelers are going to do. Now, they need a running back, and they need to get them linemen out of them up stance and put their hand in the dirt and come off the rock. because their inability to run the football is hurting them. Mm-hmm. And Ben not pushing the ball down the field is hurting them. And it finally bit them in the butt. And teams, you know, the first five games, Skip, they ran for over 100 yards. Only one 100-yard rush game in the final 12, yep, including last night. Mm.
And who was that against? No, it wasn't even against, I was thinking it was against Dallas. Yeah. But it wasn't,
No. Wasn't even close against
that. I think we actually held them under 100.
That's how bad they were. You got to run. You got to have some resemblance of a run game. Ben threw the ball. What he threw the ball? 68 times? 68? And then, well, he only threw for 500, but he threw four picks. They got 24 points off turnovers. So take away those 24 points they got off turnovers, Skip, and now we're looking at a different ball game.
Yep, I agree. So before I launch on this, as much as I love Mike Tomlin, I know Mike loves Mike Tomlin, Michael Vick does, I still have to make the point. First play of the fourth quarter, they had it fourth and one at their, 46-yard line?
That was key.
Just let Ben go. He had heated up.
Go for it.
Remember, the Browns are down three of their starters in their defensive backfield. You just go, because he was hot, and I'm pretty sure he would have converted. And if he goes down and scores, all of a sudden, early in the fourth quarter, let's say 10 minutes are left, it'd be 35-30, and all of a sudden, little brother's not thinking like I'm big brother
anymore. You need to put the pressure back on Cleveland.
Okay, because then I don't know what would happen from there, but Ben, I tweeted in the first quarter, don't be surprised if he throws for 500. He threw for 501 because he's backyard Ben. You're just letting him just play in the backyard. I'm just going to throw it here. I'm going to throw it there. And he's got about half an arm left, it looks like to me, and I don't know why. It just never came back right from elbow and shoulder surgery.
Actually, his arm doesn't look as strong as Phillip Rivers.
Well, it doesn't. No, seriously. So to me, it looked like, to Michael Vick's point, the beginning of the game, the Steelers came out like, okay, we're still the Steelers. They got COVID issues. They don't have their head coach. They don't have Bill Kelly and their offensive line coach. They're down this player and that player and this player and that player. We got this. What did Juju Smith-Schuster say last week? The Browns is still the Browns. And Baker let them know about that after the game because that was their mentality. It's like, we will flip the switch. And they flipped it when the game started and their electricity got turned off. Because when you streak into the postseason, losing, you went 1-5 in your last six games. Yep. What did Coach Landry teach me when I was a pup in this business? You have to streak into the playoffs. The teams that win it all take off in December. You can't back in. They backed in, right?
Skip, they've been trending down for like 2 months.
For like 2 months.
I wish Mike T would have went for it on that fourth down.
Yep.
I thought that was a critical moment in the game, and he tried to play situational football, and that backfired because the Cleveland Browns was hot. And to your point, Shannon, what you said about Ben moving forward, you know, being 37 years old or 38, you look at the older guys in the league, the older quarterbacks in the National Football League, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, you know, those guys got running games. Aaron Rodgers got a run game behind him. You have to have a run game. If you're going to play this game till you're 40 years old, you got to be protected. You got to have the pressure taken off of you by a running back that has stability and is good enough to carry the load. So all of those guys, 40 and up, you know, got run games. Aaron Rodgers got a run game, and he's playing some of his best football. So I still think Ben got a lot left in the tank. They just got to put a run game behind him. It's going to be paramount.
Man, Ben moving worse in the pocket than Brady. And Brady, 43. Usually, Ben, man, it's like Ben got a piano, a refrigerator, and a stove tied around it.
Okay, but he threw for 501 yards. Skip. Maybe they're Dak Prescott Memorial empty calorie
Skip, the
yards.
Man has 70 attempts. When have you ever seen that many attempts in a playoff game?
Ben can turn up when he wants to. You see that. Like, when it's there for him and when he can see it, you know, it happens. He can make magic happen. Still, it's just the fact that we... 3rd and 2, we're passing the football.
You're
third
right.
and 5, we're passing the football. Sometimes you got to be able to hand it off. It's a little bit of everything in Pittsburgh, and I think it needs to take. People need to take a hard look at what's going on within the organization moving forward.
And Skip, it's tailor made for him to throw for 500. He ain't throwing up a dink and dunk. His offense is dink and dunk. So if we got a 28 point lead, I'm just going to concede that to you. I just don't want you to get no big chunk over my head.
Okay, I hear it. But would you send him home now, or would you?
No, he's not going home.
Okay.
No, he's not going home.
Okay. Well, I would give him one more shot to Mike's point about you got to get him a running back.
Yes.
You got to let that defense get healthy again. And if it does, they're going to be a force.
Yep, they've been trending this way for an extended period of time. They're not the Steelers that we remember. Run the football, play defense. They are a passing football team that plays defense also. Yep. And so we've seen it trend towards Ben, all Ben. You know, and Ben hadn't played well in the playoff game. Skip, these last couple of playoff games, Ben hadn't played well now.
He has not. Tim Tebow.
I mean, he started his career 10-2. Now I think he's 3-7 in his last 10 playoff games.
I just can't believe it started that way, though. 11-0 to have it end that way, that big of a hole early. It was an interesting start here and ending that way. Mike, we so appreciate you joining us. Always, thank you for your time.
No mercy.
Trending story brought to you by the all-new Kia Sorento, the world's first storytelling machine. Well, guys, it all comes down to this. Number one, Alabama takes on number 3, Ohio State, tonight in the national championship. A win for Alabama would be the 3rd title since the college football playoff format began. And the Tide find themselves as 8.5-point favorites, according to Fox Bet Sportsbook. So, Shannon, do you expect a Bama blowout tonight?
I don't expect a Bama blowout, but I do expect Alabama to win. Ohio State played their best game of the season, might have been their best game in the last 2 seasons. The question is, can they replicate what they did against Clemson basically 2 weeks ago, Skip? This is what we know about Alabama. They had 3 guys in the top 5 in the Heisman voting, all in the offensive side. They won the Remington Award, best center. They won the Outland Award, had the best offensive lineman, Alex Leatherwood. Doak Campbell, Johnny Unitas, obviously the Heisman Trophy winner. They're loaded offensively. The question is, you need two things to beat Alabama. You need to be able to run the football. And if you look at the games that they've lost in the championship game, what Clemson do? Got after. Cleveland Farrell, Dexter Lawrence, the other big kid, Christian Wilkins.
Yep.
When they beat them, Ohio State beat them, they had Joey Bosa. They had those guys. Can they run the football effectively? And can they get after Mac Jones? I don't believe Alabama will blow this team out. I do believe Alabama will win the ball game. And it's going to be in the mid, you're going to have to get to the mid-30s. It might be a 42-35 type ball game, Skip, like the first game between these two teams, just reverse where Alabama has the 42 and Ohio State has the 35. Mm. But I don't expect a blowout. I do not.
Really?
No, I don't.
Well, you got the greatest offense in the history of college football. Well, it is. They put up better numbers than Joe Burrow and LSU did a year ago.
Skip.
How can you? You got Devontae and Najee, who both scored 20 touchdowns. That's never happened in the history of college football. You had a running back and a wideout score 20 touchdowns.
Well, hopefully we can score 20 tonight between the two of them.
Well, maybe they will. So I thought you said he had a stinker.
He got a stinker. Okay. But that did Skip. That defense ain't what we used to see it, though.
No?
He ain't got those guys he used to have down in that defense.
Well, I thought you were going to give me Ohio State and 8.5.
No, Skip.
Why not?
Skip, we ain't got Payne. We ain't got Allen. We ain't got Jared Reed. We ain't got Tomlinson. Skip, we ain't got those guys that we used to have. We ain't got the Minkah Fitzpatricks who's back there in the secondary. The Harrison and the Jackson.
I think Ohio State's going to cause some pain on Bama's defense.
Oh, so we got a bet straight up.
8.5.
No.
Fox Butt says it's 8.5. And I got a quarterback with, I think he's got cracked ribs.
He ain't got no crack skill. The man that called timeout and then he came back and threw a 64-yard strike.
Well, that's what they're being very guarded about what he has, but something was really wrong with his ribs.
It was so bad he threw the ball farther than he had ever thrown it in his life.
They're also being very guarded. They got some COVID issues. We may see some starters not show up for this game. There was a point last week when I thought it was going to have to be postponed for another week.
Is that wide receiver, what's his name?
Olave.
Is he showing up?
I'm pretty sure he's showing up.
What about Trey Sermon?
Well, I'm pretty sure.
What about Justin Fields?
Remember, Trey Sermon's an Oklahoma reject. We just said no. You can transfer. We're done. We're better.
I wish y'all had kept it.
Huh?
I wish y'all had kept it.
Well, he just had 331 against Northwestern and 193 against Clemson. That'll work.
And you thought Zeke was hot coming into the national championship game. This guy might have been hotter than Zeke.
Well, I'm just hoping that Justin Fields is on a Zeke-like role because what he did to Clemson just took my breath away. I picked him to upset Clemson, but my God, he was out of his mind. He couldn't miss.
Alabama has played well offensively all year. It's been a long, long time since
off the charts.
It's been a long time in which they haven't reached 30.
Right, and Devontae is truly unguardable. You try everything on him.
And then,
you say, Nothing cheap, nothing deep. And he catches a slant and he's gone, or a bubble and he's gone.
And then Jalen Waddle might be a game time decision.
I think he's going
to
play.
If he can run, he still can run, Skip. You don't have to do a whole lot, but he can still take the top off the coverage if he's able to go. Mm. So I like Alabama. I'm going to say
41-33. 41-33?
Yeah.
Well, okay, so it's 8.5. So
I'm not giving Skip. I'm not giving you any points. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I do expect St. Nick to get number 7, and Alabama will be back in its rightful place in the Alabama Invitational. Mm. All is right and well in Tuscaloosa and in Birmingham.
I'll take 7.5 right now.
No.
Yes.
No.
Come on, have some guts.
I ain't got no guts.
Bama, I don't know why. You grew up in Georgia. Yeah. You went to Savannah State, and you're an Alabama nut. How did that happen? I don't get it.
I rooted anybody that can beat the Georgia Bulldogs.
You have no built-in connection with Alabama.
Zero.
Okay.
Zero.
So what?
But Skip, I just remember going up and you know, we could see Coach Bryant. We could see all those. I remember, you know, Walter Davis and Major Ogilvy. I remember all those great Alabama players that growing up, I was like, man. And they were just playing. They were just blah to wish. Ah.
It was a terrible. It was the most boring wishbone in the history of wishbones. Oklahoma ran one with cooking with gas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But,
right?
But they ain't want to see that man with the hounds who had on, though, did they?
I think Justin Fields is going to throw another party tonight. I think your Bama defense is gettable.
That's why you want me to. I mean, they gave up, what did they give up to Florida? Like 500, 600 yards to Florida.
They gave up 46 points because it was 52-46.
And they had another game where they gave up a bunch of points. So, nah, Ole Miss. Mm. They gave up to a protege.
Yep.
No.
I still like Patrick Surtain to my Cowboys at number 10, but I think he's going to have a long night.
No, he's going to have a long night. Yep. Oh. He's going to have a long night.
I'll take 7.5 right now.
No, come on.
No guts, no glory.
I got no guts. But St. Nick going to get number 7 tonight.
Okay. I have a good feeling about the Buckeyes, guys. Come on. This season has been filled with adversity, and Coach Day said from day one, you know, we have the ability to be special this season. And I feel like they're peaking at the right time. That's all I have to say. I've been around them plenty, guys.
No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.